Welcome to our full-length sermon for the week. Each week we try to include a longer-length sermon to supplement our morning and evening services that are live-streamed. Now, this week the passage is the one that was going to be for the evening service, and it was originally going to be Luke chapter 12 from verse 22. It is Jesus giving us four reasons why we need not worry. Now, I don't know about you, but I really need to hear those at the moment. Jesus says, do not worry about your life. Well, I guess a lot of us are worrying about our lives at the moment. And I, for one, really need to hear Jesus' loving words, speaking peace, saying, Nick, don't worry, it'll be okay. But as I've been reflecting, we actually need to start back in verse 13 and the uncomfortable challenge we find there. So grab yourself a Bible and I'm going to read from Luke chapter 12, verse 13. And I'm reading from the NIV UK, which is the Bible we usually use here at Holy Trinity. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Jesus replied, Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? Then he said to them, Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, What shall I do? I've no place to store my crops. Then he said, This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of the Lord. Now, I started our reading from verse 12 for two reasons. One is because there is a then and a therefore in verse 22. Verse 22 follows straight on from the bit previously. The second reason is because Jesus has an amazing ability to speak into our hearts. Look at verse 34. Jesus says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I wonder what you think of when you think of treasure. Now, when I think of treasure, I tend to think of pirates and big treasure chests of gold and coins. The popular idea of pirates and treasure is actually quite helpful. Pirates will do whatever they can to get that treasure. They are living for that gold. Now, each and every one of us has something that we treasure, or someone that we treasure. The thing or the person that we are living for. Now, what we treasure will affect our lives. Our treasure will affect what we worry about. It will affect what we fear. It will affect what we pray for. It will affect how we use our money and our possessions. It will affect our eternity. Now, something like the crisis that we're in exposes our fears, it reveals our anxieties, and in doing so, it exposes our hearts. Well, Jesus, in these verses, gives us two options of things we could treasure, things we could set our hearts on. And actually, they are two very different ways of dealing with the fears and the worries that life throws at us. So let's look at them both together, shall we? Now, the first option of treasure and how we deal with our fears is found in verses 13 to 21. And the first treasure, or the first thing we can treasure, is me and my kingdom. So look, let's go back to verse 13. Thousands of people are crowding around Jesus. Jesus is teaching his disciples, and a man in the crowd comes to Jesus. Now, this man has a serious family problem. His brother has inherited everything, and he has inherited nothing. How unfair! His brother gets to retire early. He's going to have to work for a living. So this man comes to Jesus and tells Jesus what to do, which is never a good idea. Verse 13, "Teacher," he says, "tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus responds, verse 14, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter between you?" Jesus hasn't come as Robin Hood to redistribute wealth from the rich to the poor. That's because Jesus is concerned with something deeper, more profound. Verse 15, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions.'" See Jesus' concern? Jesus' concern is not for how rich we are, but for our hearts, our desires, what we're living for, what we're longing for. And then Jesus exposes that this man who's come to him is actually living just for himself. Now, before we come to the story Jesus tells, I need to ask us a question. Do a little scenario. Imagine that tomorrow you get a strange letter through the post and you open it up and it's addressed to you and it says, "Dear," and there's your name. And it says, "We're sorry to say that a distant cousin died last year. They have left you £75,000. Please find it enclosed. Yours sincerely." And then it's signed. And there in the envelope is actually a cheque for £75,000, and it has your name on the top, and it's signed, and it's legit. Now, apart from the fact that it probably would never happen, but what is your initial response? What would you do with that money? Well, hold that thought, because Jesus tells a story of a man who has a windfall. It's a bumper harvest. His barns are too small. What does he do? Well, it seems very sensible, doesn't it? Verse 18, he tears down the barns, he builds bigger ones, stores everything up, and sits back and takes it easy. Financial security, cupboards full of food, time to enjoy life. Isn't that what most people want? This man now has no worries. He's protected himself from fear and worry, hasn't he? By having a large store of food, cupboards full of toilet roll, and everything he needs for the months and years ahead. Isn't that wise? But verse 20, and this is an incredibly scary verse. Verse 20, Jesus says, God said to him, "You fool." In God's eyes, according to Jesus, that man is a fool. Now that is a loaded term, because in Psalm 14 in the Old Testament, we're told a fool says to himself, "There is no God." That's what this man does. Listen to how he speaks. He says, "I haven't anywhere to keep all my crops. What can I do? This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store up my surplus grain." Do we see who's at the centre of this man's world? He is. What is his aim in life? Comfortable, easy life. Safe life. Secure life. That's the kingdom he is building for himself. You see, this man's not thinking, well, it's God who's generously given me all this. He's not thinking, oh, what does God want me to do with this? No. It's just me, my family, I. Now, here's where it gets painful for us. Because a windfall exposes our hearts. I mean, what was your response to the idea of getting £75,000 through the post? If it was me, well, if it was me, I'd probably be thinking about holidays and camper vans. Or maybe in the present circumstances, we're thinking about a big supermarket order that will get us through lockdown. Maybe you thought, oh, well, I'll give it to the food bank or I'll give it to the NHS. But I wonder, what are we living for? Because Jesus' story carries on. And God says to this man, this very night, your life will be demanded from you. The word for demanded is the word for asking for something back that has been given on loan. So let's say I lent you our car for a week. Not that you could do much with it at the moment, mind you. And it's pretty messy from three children and not having been cleaned for ages. But at the end of the week, I ask for the car back. Well, our lives are borrowed from God. One day our Maker will ask for our life back and we will stand before him. What will he say to us? Because if we've lived for ourselves, Jesus seems to be saying that he will say to us, "You fool." Jesus finishes this parable with these words. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. So there is one way to live, one treasure, one way to avoid worry and fear. Live for me and my kingdom. And that's what this man done, hasn't he? He's shielded himself from worry, protected himself from anxiety. But it was all very selfish. Now, to be fair, I see this attitude in myself. You know, going around the supermarket, I'll just add a little extra into my trolley this week in case I can't get it next week. I'm not thinking about the people who are coming after me. I'm just thinking about me and my family. And that's uncomfortable. Well, thankfully, Jesus gives us another option. It's a better option, though I guess many in this world might not agree with it. But let's see why it's better. And this better option is living for God and his kingdom. Jesus makes that clear in verse 31. He says, seek his kingdom. Seek God's kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Now, in verses 22 to 34, Jesus gives us four little pictures of why it's worth living for God and his kingdom. And they are wonderful. And you know what? I've really needed to hear what Jesus is saying this week. And I suspect I'll need to hear it again next week and the week after and the week after. Here are these four little pictures. And the first picture is about our value. It's in verses 22 to 24. Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Now, as Jesus is saying this, we need to remember who he's speaking to. These people live in a country where if you have a bad harvest, you go hungry. Some of these people who he's speaking to would be struggling to scrape enough together to put food on the table. They'd be hardly managing to have enough to put one set of clothes on their back. And Jesus says to them, you don't need to be stressed about food and clothes. Well, why don't you need to worry? Well, Jesus says, look at the ravens. I mean, how many ravens do you see up at night stressing and worrying about getting enough money for food, about whether there'll be enough stuff in the supermarkets? And Jesus says, look, if the ravens are in God's hands, how much more valuable are we? And maybe this is the message for you from this. God values you. You are far more valuable to him than the birds, than the ravens. I mean, look at those verses. Jesus says, you are valuable. And the one who gives you value is not other people. It's not how much stuff you've got. It's not how much money you've got in the account. It's not how much food you've got on the table. The one who gives you value is God. You are like a precious jewel in God's hand. So you don't need to worry. Though we do. The second picture Jesus gives is about stress. One website reports that 10 million working days, at least, are lost due to stress each year. Now, I suspect stress levels and anxiety levels are through the roof at the moment. The reality is, though, that stress and anxiety and worry, they don't make life better for us. They make life worse. I mean, we've all seen that, haven't we? With the panic buying, anxiety has made it worse, not only for us, but for everybody else as well. Well, look at what Jesus says, verse 25 and 26. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Have you noticed that worrying doesn't make our life better? Have you noticed it doesn't make anything better, actually, in my experience? Sleep, relationship with the family. And Jesus says, look, just by worrying, you can't make your life longer. So why do we worry about the rest? Actually, you see, worry and stress, they adversely affect our lives and the lives of those around us. And that tells us something profound. If stress and worry, you know, as if we need to sort our life out, if that stress and worry doesn't make life better, then surely our life is not in our hands. You know, if our stress doesn't make life better, then maybe life is not in our hands after all. It's in someone else's. But there again, it can be very hard to sort of let God be God in our lives. So So the first picture Jesus gives of the birds, that you are incredibly valuable to God. Second picture, you know, stress doesn't make life any better. It can't make our life any longer. And then the third picture Jesus gives is of the wild flowers. Verses 27 to 31. Jesus says, "Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon from the Old Testament in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." On the ledge in our kitchen, we've got some orchids in pots. They're so easy to keep, even I can keep them. But they have the most beautiful, delicate little flowers on them at the moment. Now, those flowers, I don't see them stressing about what to wear. They're not worried about the latest fashion or whether the online retailers are still in business or have their size in stock. Well, these flowers, they've lasted days, if not weeks. And God has given them what they need. He's given them their beauty. Well, Jesus says, we don't just have God. We have God who is a heavenly Father who knows us perfectly. Now, I know some of us have had bad experiences of human fathers, perhaps even never knowing our Father. But God is the perfect Father. Don't look at your earthly father necessarily. Look at God and what Jesus says here. And God as Father, he knows exactly what we need. Now, of course, what we need might be not what we want, but our Father, the perfect Father, the loving Father, he knows we need clothes. He knows we need food. And he knows what we need, and he's willing to give it because he gave his Son for us. That's how much he cares. Now, me and my family, we've been trying to put this into practice in the present situation. And what does that look like? Resisting the urge to rush out and buy stuff, but praying about when we do our weekly shop and making a conscious effort only to do our weekly shop. So before we do the shop, we've been praying about when to go, and we've been praying as well that our Heavenly Father will provide what we need and what he thinks we need. And what we've discovered is that he's provided, not necessarily the way we've expected. Sometimes it's been through friends who've accidentally ended up with more of something, which is some of the things we've needed. But God has provided. Verse 31, then, it makes much more sense to live for him and his kingdom than for clothes and food and stuff, doesn't it? Well, then there's the fourth picture Jesus gives. It's in verse 32. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." Can you hear the affection in Jesus' voice there? "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The reality is that everything in this world wears out, runs out, breaks. And look, if we're honest, we may be facing some very serious economic issues once this virus is through. But Jesus here says that there is a kingdom, God's kingdom, where there is no disease, where nothing wears out, where everything lasts forever. We can be part of that now, though we're still in this broken world, but we can be storing up things, treasure in heaven, for when that world is brought in, when Jesus returns. Now, I love verse 32. It's one of my favourite verses in the Bible. "Do not be afraid, little flock, Little flock, Jesus speaking to us, his people. He calls us his little flock. And he tells us, don't be afraid. Why? Because your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. We have a heavenly Father who delights to give. Now, Jesus here is not talking about a government loan to get us out of trouble. It's not something that we have to earn. This isn't a begrudging dad giving his daughter what she's been nagging him for and so gives it to keep her quiet. No, God the Father delights, is pleased, has pleasure to give his people what? His kingdom. Everything he has. Picture it. With a smile on his face and laughter in his voice, he says, my child, my precious child, I want you to have this, my kingdom. Come, enjoy it. It's all yours. So, my friends, we can live for this world, which runs out and wears out, or we can live for a generous Heavenly Father who gives generously and delights to do it. So four little pictures Jesus gives about value, about the effects of stress, about our needs and that God knows them, and about being looked after by a generous Heavenly Father. And actually, when it comes down to it, deep down, aren't these the things what we really want and need? You know, to be valued, to not to worry, to have our needs met, to have a generous Father who will look after us and delight in us and give to us, and to have a world where things don't run out. So look, Jesus, you see, in these verses, is giving us all two options. Now, here's a coin. It's a chocolate coin. And let's say this is treasure. Now, this could represent the things of this world. My life, my family, my money, my possessions, my job, my retirement, my future. And I could do two things with this. The first thing I could do, I could hold on to it tightly and use it to give myself value. And I'll build walls around it and I'll protect it and I'll hold on to it tightly. You know, this is my life, my stuff, my retirement, my wealth. This is my value. This is what I need. I need to protect it. I need to expand it, but I need to hold on to it. That was the man in Jesus' story, wasn't it? And by having more of this stuff, he felt safe. But if I hold on to this tightly, what will happen to it? It will melt. God said to that man, you fool. Or we can hold that in an open hand. We can say, this is all yours. My life is in your hands. Heavenly Father, you are my Heavenly Father. You give me value. You know stress and worry don't help. You know my needs. And you are so generous to me that you've even given your Son to me that you could give me your kingdom for free. And in this period of lockdown, of hardship, I offer all that I am and all that I have to be used in your good purposes. Jesus says, seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Don't worry, don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you his kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the poor, and get for yourself treasure in heaven. I was worrying a lot earlier this week. None of us are immune from worry. And a good friend spoke God's word into my heart. And he said, Nick, God has got this. And so I've written on my whiteboard over there, I've got this, God. And I need to be reminded of that, and I need to be keep reminded of these pictures Jesus says here. I have a heavenly Father who thinks I'm incredibly valuable, who knows what I need, who knows that worrying and stress don't help, and who is pleased, delighted to give me his kingdom. And so Jesus says, don't be anxious. Don't be afraid. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we tend to hold so tightly onto our lives. And yet that produces great fear and anxiety. We thank you that our lives are in your hands. And we pray that we'll be able to offer them to you, to seek your kingdom, knowing that we are valued, that you care for us, that you know what we need, and that you are a loving Heavenly Father who has given your Son for us and will give us your kingdom. Help us to bring our anxieties, our concerns to you, and to hold it all before you with an open hand, that we might seek you and know you. And we pray for our brothers and sisters, our friends who are particularly anxious and fearful, that coming to you and bringing it all to you, they may know an increasing amount of your peace. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.